no longer have any incentive. Trees, the bees no longer have any incentive to gather pollen to make honey, nor was there pollen to be found in birds. And the faces and ears of all the fauna and flora of those ruined returned in the direction of Mantua, and all they could hear was the fading echo of Krishna's flute, which continued to reverberate in their hearts. The question naturally arises, why would they continue to live in such agonizing circumstances? But they did not even want to live. And the answer, they all knew deep within their hearts, that if so much as one bird or bee or flower or insect or blade of grass were to die, Krishna would have inevitably come to know of it. He too would die of a broken heart. And so, for Krishna's pleasure, he continued the Vrijavasis to maintain their lives by their thoughts and talks and songs of his kindness, mercy, and love in past times. Another inevitable question that must arise is, why didn't they just leave and go with him? Well, as you know, there are many faces to every aspect of Krishna's lila, as there are many corresponding moods which are always arising in the heart of Lord Garanga, each one of them awarding a different angle of vision to help give us a holistic perspective of the depth and significance of the treasure awarded to us. Krishna felt it necessary to leave. First, there's the exoteric and the esoteric. The exoteric. Obvious. External reason was, at that time, there had been for 11 years a continuous stream of demons being sent by Kamsa to Braj to find and destroy Krishna. Krishna was fearing that at some point Kamsa himself might come. Not that Krishna was afraid of Kamsa, but he was actually afraid of the Vrijavasis, or their response, that if they saw with their own eyes Krishna having to confront Kamsa, that would just be unbearable anxiety for them, to relieve them of that. He went to Mathura to confront Kamsa there. Furthermore, the lives of Vasudeva Devati, which means the future of the Jada dynasty, lay in the balance. And Krishna had to tend to the bonds of duty while trying to balance that with the bondage of love, which the Vrijavasis held the ropes to. So the night before Krishna's departure, and the early the next morning, when the news began circulating through Nandagram and Varshana that Krishna was leaving, Mother Jashoda, she couldn't fathom, what do you mean? Krishna leaving? What does that mean? Where could he go? And then when Nanda Maharaj tried in various ways to explain it to her, and it finally registered a little bit, her immediate response was to hide Krishna behind the closet, behind the curtain, behind the altar, but everywhere she hid Krishna, it wasn't sufficient. She was just frantically running around the house. And then she vowed to stop the sun from rising. And she threatened the demigods that they participated in this leela. And it was only Nanda Maharaj's promise, I'll go with him and be sure to bring him back. That pacified Mother Jashoda to a slight degree, because the queen had some faith in the words of King Nanda, but the princess did not. So why didn't they just go with Krishna? Furthermore, he was really for the sake of the Vrijavasis that Krishna left, because he was observing that for the years of his presence in Vrajabhumi, the ecstasy of union with him had driven them to a state of madness which threatened their very lives and needed to be balanced by a corresponding mood of separation. Because in the ecstasy of union with Krishna, they were too fearful of separation, and or imminent separation. But in separation, they would be more immersed in the joy of meeting Krishna. So he understood it's time to facilitate that balance. And from the perspective of Chaitanya Lila, which is the process following Lord Ramana's footsteps and going deeper and deeper and deeper as he asked Ramana to ride. He finally said, I've never heard anybody ask to go beyond this point. I don't know what anything that lies there. But you're speaking through me, so I'll serve in this way. So in union with the bird, the natural impulse of the soul is to pour out all your affections lavishly upon him. But in separation, when you take him within your heart, the whole external world just fades into oblivion. And the internal dynamic, which is eternal, becomes prominent. So social service is a matter of integrating and balancing all these various dynamics of spiritual life. But these different aspects don't answer the question, which warrants a response. Why didn't the Vrijavasis just go with Krishna to Mathura? The topic of Dham Tantra is intricate and deep and profound. And each Dham has a unique community of devotees. And they adhere to the Dham with which they are intimately integrated. Each Dham has a distinctive flavor which complements and nurtures each devotee's corresponding mood. And that's expressed in the words of the Vrijavasis, that we prefer to stay in Braj than to go with Krishna. Now, if Srimati Radharani went, that would be a different matter. But their preference to the Dham over the association with Krishna is only apparent. Krishna is found most tangibly in the relationships between the devotees and between the devotees and their Lord. And the Dham, what is Dham? It's an interesting, it's a deep dynamic. We refer to the Dham as Balaram, Sangini potency manifest, which is Balaram, who expands himself to the Dham. We refer to the Dham as she, because in another perspective, the Dham is the collection of Radharani. It's Vilasha. And it also contains Samvit, cognizance. The Dham is a dynamic of loving relationships, past and present, including future influences. And in those relationships, Krishna is most tangibly present, accessible, and attainable. And therefore, we are not encouraged to pursue a relationship with Krishna. We are encouraged to develop the attitude of what Mahaprabhu himself identified with. Not Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, nor Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sinas, Gopi Bhakti Pada Kamalara Das Das, Anudas. So the Dham is like a container. More specifically, you can consider the analogy of a vase or vase, depending on where you're from, which has the function of holding flowers. Now, in a bouquet, there's no one flower that's predominant over the others. The beauty of the bouquet is the synergy, the assemblage of the various distinct flavors and colors and patterns and shapes. The delicate assemblage of which demonstrates the delicate assemblage of our heart's affections, which when combined harmoniously and cooperatively with other devotees, makes the arrangement where Krishna prefers to make his eternal residence. The Leela of Lord Gauranga is Chana. He is Chana Avatar, which means concealed. And he's the only avatar who is not explicitly mentioned in Shastra prior to his appearance and during his lila. All the other avatars, details are given, where they'll be born, who are their parents, what their, how their associates serve them, what is the mission, name, form, and function. This is not described in scripture regarding Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Only in concealed, indirect ways, but is nevertheless recognizable as the hidden import of all Shastra, who has strived since time immemorial to proclaim, who is insufficiently equipped to succeed. Jiva Goswami asked the question when Lord Nityananda was leading him on Parikrama through Navadvip, what does Antardvip mean? Because Antar means secret. And what's the secret? And Lord Nityananda thinking, this must be God. But then, when Krishna sat down with his gopas for lunch, and Brahma was watching these exchanges, and they opened their lunch boxes prepared by their mothers, some used leaves and some used rocks and different things for plates, and they began to sample their mother's affection and the taste of their cooking. And then the cowherd boys were, they'd sample something, and, hey, Krishna, try this. And they'd take it out of their mouth and offer to Krishna, he'd take it and sample that. He'd say, well, that's good. The you boys are sons of farmers, I'm the son of the king, so try this. And then he'd sample Mother Yashoda's cooking and share it with the boys. And then he'd take the remnants from there out, and all this exchange is immersed in the gopas in a kind of ecstasy in which they completely forgot that Krishna had died. But Rama couldn't forget the killing of Arjuna. Only my father Narayan had such potency. Could this child be some form of my father Narayan? And my father Narayan would never eat the remnants of gopas. Who is this child? So, the lila which followed. And it's very wonderful how, when Brahma came down and offered his prayers to Krishna, very sincere, heartfelt prayers, and he didn't really commit an offense as far as having any enmity within his heart. He just wanted to know, who is this child? He didn't have envy. But he took it as an offense because he disturbed Krishna's play with gopas. Krishna lost sight of the gopas for a while, and he was tormented by that. So Brahma felt responsible for an offense, and with his eloquent prayers, he begged Krishna's forgiveness. And as Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains it, Krishna dutifully heard Brahma's prayers, but couldn't wait for them to end, because in his mind he's thinking, who is this four-headed personality, and where did he come from, and what is he talking about? I can't understand any of this, I just want to find my friends. So he didn't even say anything to Brahma. He did not respond with so much as a word. He just... And then Brahma returned to his abode feeling so utterly miserable that he displaced the Lord. So, in the depths of his heart, he realized Krishna will come again in a more merciful form. I will take shelter of him. So he came down today. The central stamen of the lotus of Navadvipa, of which each island represents and facilitates one of the processes of devotional service. Antardvipa being the heart of the matter, representing Atma Nivedanam, full surrender. That is where the Lord appears, in the heart of such a surrendered soul. So Brahma came down there and performed severe tapasya for a long time, until Lord Govindarupa appeared to him. And that time they had a conversation. And Lord Gauranga revealed the intimate details and reasons for his upcoming appearance. And he told Brahma that your desire to become humbler than a blade of grass will be fulfilled when you take birth in a Muslim family, where you will be condemned and rejected by Muslims because you chant Hare Krishna, and you'll be condemned and rejected by the Hindus because you're born in a Muslim family. So as an outcast to both worlds, you will have my shelter wholeheartedly. And your desire in that life to see me at the time physics. Because various reasons, foremost of which you might say, is the Lord wanted to experience the ecstasies of devotional service. He did not want to be reminded that he's God. And he put on a good display to such an extent that he even forgot that he was God. If the scriptures have proclaimed in a clear way his advent, he could not have deluded the world into believing that he was a devotee, or himself even. And he wanted to teach devotional service. There is no point for another avatar, because Krishna had recently appeared in this world and concluded his teachings with Sarva Dharma Purja Jamamekam Shadanamrita, but who surrendered? Hardly anyone. And as Srila Prabhupada explains it, the jiva soul who is envious by nature, who is this person telling you to surrender? So there's no point in another avatar to do the same. But as we were discussing yesterday, the Lord has two features, the feature who is served and the feature who serves. And Radha and Krishna stand together, they're on equal footing. But when the Lord who is served recedes to the background and the Lord who serves assumes the foreground, that form of the Lord is even more charming, affectionate, loving, and influential than the Lord who is served. That is the power of bhakti, which conquers even the Lord. And when Bhakti Devi reveals her nature within the heart of a pure devotee, that is more influential than the Lord himself in inspiring us and leading us on the path of surrender. Furthermore, Bharatvarsha was so infected at the time with the teachings of Shankaracharya that the goal of life, the samabhanam, is to become one with God, which means to be God, which is very offensive to the Lord because some of so with so many exalted from the intellectual perspective, like Prakasananda Saraswati and Sahabama Bhattacharya, teaching how to become God with tens of thousands of disciples who are austere and have intellect beyond what most Vaishnavas can imitate or match, there's no need for another than I am. There was a need for a servant of the servant of the servant to confront these exalted acharyas in the line of Shankar and defeat them to proclaim the glory of bhakti as supreme. So these are some of the prime reasons. But as Lord Nityananda continued to explain to Jiva Goswami, it was before his appearance and during his leela that the scriptures, carefully guarded by Yoga Maya, kept the indications of Gauranga's advent and purpose concealed, hidden from public view, but disclosed in such a way that the humble and wise devotees could detect the most wonderful avatar to come in the 28th of the year. In the reign of Adishwatamani. Because the devotees, they know him as he is, and they long to please him by increasing their devotional service and love. So they can see what to others becomes invisible. But that's before and during the Lord's Leela. Rather than Ananda continues to explain that after his Leela was completed, then there was no longer need to keep the secret concealed. And at that time, by Lord Nityananda's inspiration, in Yogamaya's service, all the secrets hidden within the heart of all the previous scriptures became evident and disclosed, even to public view, while simultaneously all the yet unrevealed scriptures began to manifest, and all difficulties in understanding the identity of Gauratatta came to an end by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and his servants. Furthermore, Braj Prem is a topic so intimate and so intense that it's likely to be misunderstood by persons who are misled into thinking that this is some kind of lust. When Radha comes to Krishna, the perverted mind can think like that. And therefore, amongst other reasons, Lord Garuda took sannyas to demonstrate that his infatuation with Krishna was a mood of such purely sacrificial love that he's not only distinct from, but the actual only attribute of the two, the disease of the heart of lust. So, the Lord took birth during the lunar eclipse, which is considered non-suspicious, and everyone was taking shelter of the holy name. He first caused the advent of the holy name, and then in the midst of the congregational chanting, he took birth himself, at which time Haridas Thakur Nadvaita, who for many years had been praying for the advent, they jumped up and chanted and danced in great ecstasy, arm in arm, but nobody could know why. And then the Lord's infancy revealed many aspects of proper chanting. We hear from Chaitanya Charitamrita how he would cry, and no matter what anyone offered him, he would continue to cry until the devotees chanted Hare Krishna. And then he would smile. Great joy. And then he got big enough to stand up. And the ladies chanted, he would dance. And to see his dance those ladies felt that the whole universe was dancing according to his movements and will and love. And then when he got a little bit bigger and he was able to run, as he danced in the midst of the circle of others who were chanting Hare Krishna, he would suddenly run out into the streets and beg from anyone who saw it. He especially wanted to beg sweets, but he wouldn't eat them. He would run back into the circle of ladies who were chanting Hare Krishna and with his own little hands distribute those sweets to all the ladies to assure them and us that if we simply dedicate ourselves to his mission, we don't have to worry about our sustenance. With his own hands, he will supply that. And the way he would dance, and the way he would smile, and the way he would laugh, would inspire them irresistibly to chant only for his pleasure. Then, when he got old enough to go to school, he became very infatuated. And in the assembly of Advaita, where the devotees were just tormented by the envious, atheistic population which surrounded them and continually hurled the cruelest invectives and vicious persecutions toward them. But in the shelter of Advaita, and especially hearing the discourses of Vishwarup, the devotees forgot all their sorrows. And nobody went home for lunch. The Mother Sati was anxious because she made lunch for Vishwarup, which he said, Nimai, we'll bring him. And when Nimai came into the assembly of the Advaitacharyas, the Krishna Kirtan, the Krishna Gita, everything stopped. And all eyes turned towards him only. Mere sight, the kirtan stops, the Krishna Katha ends, and everything is fixed on him alone. I don't know. Just continue the kirtan. And as the kirtan resounded in the house of Advaita, Nimai came running back, and the kirtan ended again. Continuing to pray on the bank of the Ganges to Shalagrama Shila with roars resounding through Vaikuntha, interspersed with tender cries of reaching the hearts of the Lord of Godot to come and Lord and deliver as well. He didn't realize that the Lord was living next door, coming to his house every day. As he fervently prayed for the Lord to come. He didn't graduate at the end of Dhamma that no one has charm like this Nimai except Krishna. Could it be? Could it be that this child playing naked in the streets and just causing mischief everywhere in Nadia? So, and the Lord became so immersed in his studies, he just forgot everything else. And in no time, he became the prize student of Pandita's Pandit, who is some different movie of Krishna Lila. He put him in charge of the whole university. Little Nimai became the professor teaching. And he won the universal admiration of everyone in creation except for the Vaishnavas. They could not share this appreciation because it was purely secular. And they would address him, Nimai, what is the use of all your learning if you don't serve Krishna? The purpose and goal of all wisdom is to understand, love, serve, and surrender to Krishna. Without that, it's all useless. It simply leads to death and ignorance. Receive a quality of love of God from him that will bring Rama, Shiva, Narada, Shukra to my doorstep begging for alms in the form of bhakti. You will see. And they thought, we hope so. And that was the time that he was enacting the function of the various avatars who come to Yadayudhavidharvasyadhanidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhavidhav Akamsa and his associates, because these were another kind of demons of intellectual prowess, who were propagating wicked doctrines, killing the spiritual prospects of everyone on the earth. So Nehemiah, the great professor, would go out into the streets and proclaim his challenge. Who will dare to meet with me in public controversy? And after a few of those controversies, all the professors scattered whenever he entered into the streets, because he would ask questions which no one could understand. The intricacies and riddles contained in his every question. It would silence all opponents. So I can answer my question. And he answered. The answer was more baffling than the question. Then he would refute his answer with riddles and logic and puzzles that was more bewildering than ever, establishing his thesis, which he would next refute with his antithesis. And he's challenging, can anybody find any fault with my question or answer or thesis? And he just hit it. And even when Keshava Kashmir, who was so intimidating to the pundits of Nadia, who would not normally be concerned with a pundit from afar, had they not known and believed that he was the most favored of Saraswati, who assured him that he would appear on his tongue no matter whatever topic he spoke. So they all fled the Keshava Kut, but they were thinking, maybe he should meet with Nehemiah. I mean, even if he defeats Nehemiah, we could say, he's just a child. Then, after going to Gaya to perform Pinda, the mission of the Ishwara Purya, first seeing the footprints of Gadadhar, hearing the Dhamma's praise, and then by chance Ishwara Purya arrived. Because all this time, in his triumphs of learning, the feelings of his heart, which he kept powerfully repressed, were gathering more and more strength. And he pitied the deplorable decadence of his hometown. He felt the gravity of the situation of the world. He regretted the turn from bad to worse that was the outcome of the Vaishnava's preaching. And he longed to lead the Sankirtan movement and inaugurate preaching from door to door. But to honor the etiquette, he would not do so without the instructions of his spiritual master. And as we discussed yesterday, Ishwara Puri, due to his exquisitely humble service attitude, completely imbibed relationship which Mother Dendrapuri had with Gopal. So then he begged Ishwara Puri for the mantra, please accept me as your disciple. And Ishwara Puri said, you can't deceive me, Pandit. Since the first time I saw you in Nadia, nothing else has any place on the altar within my heart. Seeing you, I feel the same sentiments as seeing Krishna face to face. I know who you are, Pandit. You ask me for the mantra, I want to give you my heart, my life, my everything. But then a voice from the sky spoke, O jewel of the twice born, you must fill the limitless universes with the resounding song of your holy name. And you have come to this world to distribute that praise. It's not time for you to go to Vrindavan now. You will have the opportunity in the future. Reminded of his mission by the devas, he gathered up the students and returned to Navadvipa. But when he returned, and the devotees saw that their prayer that he become a devotee had been answered, when they all congregated at the house of Srivas, where a Kalpa Vriksha would provide unlimited flowers for all the devotees to use in the worship of their deities. And they were picking flowers, and Sriman Mahanta arrived, and he was clearly in a kind of ecstasy that nobody has seen him before. What is the reason? There certainly is one. What is it? Our prayers have been answered. Nimai Pandit has not only become a devotee, but he has become such a devotee. And he told us that the burning anguish in his heart cannot be revealed in public, but he needs to share it with us. When he comes to Shukumbhar's house, and they went and waited in great anticipation. And the Lord Garanga came in, and he embraced the pillar, which collapsed under his weight. Oh, Krishna, what are you doing? Krishna. And he revealed what happened at Kanayanathasana. On the way back, Kanayanathasana, I was approached by this young gopa, by the sapphire complexion, and flute in his hands, and so charming were his lotus eyes, encircled by the wavy hair cascading down the sides of his moonlight face. He looked at me with such love, and he approached me, and just when he was ready to embrace me, he disappeared to go who knows where. Where is Krishna? Where is he gone? He fell at the feet of all the devotees, pleading with them, save my life. Bring me that gopa, the son of Nanda, the prince of bread.